Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn and Friends online at lauralynn.tv. Laura Lynn, welcome back to Canada and to the Goddard Report.
It's awesome to be with you again, Jim. Thank you.
You've been traveling in the U.S. Did you run into any issues when you crossed the border from Canada into the States?
Well, going from Canada into the United States was no issue for me in particular. Me and my husband and I might say, are dual citizens. And so we have U.S. passports. So there was no issue getting into the States at all. It was simple, you know, questions, not even very much at all. So that part was really easy.
Where did you go and what did you see in the U.S.?
Well, we wanted to go down and catch up with the truckers convoy that had been inspired by the Canadian convoy. So we headed off to Washington and just had an amazing time seeing all the Canadian flags that were flying on the U.S. truckers' rigs. It was something to behold, and every time I told somebody that we were from Canada, we were greeted with extreme love and just such affirmation for what the truckers had done. It really felt good to be Canadian. I was so proud. I was so proud of what had been accomplished, of how the world had seen what the truckers had done in Canada, how it had inspired the world. And so when I was with the convoy, we ended up being able to go right to Washington, to the Capitol, and have a private meeting. Well, it was open to the press and with the truckers that were chosen to go and speak with Senator Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson. And what an incredible opportunity to watch them listen to the truckers' concerns. The plight for freedom, for bodily autonomy, that they would not lose their jobs because they did not want to take, an experimental medication into their body. It was really something, and the senators were amazing. I actually got them at that point to speak on what they thought about Trudeau, and I was in shock. They leveled a very painful assault on his character, the tyranny of his government. And it is not lost on the United States people what the Canadians are going through. And it continues to be an absolute assault against all of us.
How was crossing the border from the U.S. back into Canada?
Okay, that was fraught with a lot more worry. So I prepared myself. I had read something from Police on Guard about what our passports actually say on the inside of them. And our passports, on the very first page, our Canadian passports state that this is, first of all we need in order to get into our country, and that we are to be given access without delay. There was another word that it uses, basically, do not stop me from going. There should be no delay at all, you know. So the passport in and of itself should be the simplest document that we need. And actually, it's funny here, Jim, because my husband's running over to get the passport because he realizes that I'm completely botching it. So let me see if I can read this. Every Canadian needs to know this. I think it's actually important. Thanks, hon. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of Canada requests in the name of Her Majesty the Queen, all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without delay or hindrance, and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. Now, you know, when they put this out, I don't know if they realized that we were going to be delayed and hindered by our government, that we were not going to be allowed to pass freely. It was going to be a big hullabaloo. And also that we would maybe need protection, and that would be from our government. And so that was interesting as well, just to know what is on there. And then I prepared a binder because we were a bit stressed. I wanted to be able to tell the border guards why. We made the decision not to get an antigen test. We made the decision not to get the ArriveCan app, which you are supposed to, I think, sign up for 72 hours before you get to the border. My binder. I'm going to get a binder that will tell you exactly what I put in this binder. And we wanted to explain to the border guards that we're not in compliance with these horrible measures. We're not going to just lay down and have our rights and freedoms assaulted by measures that are tyrannical, unnecessary. So I got the Quarantine Act, and I printed out, actually my husband printed out two copies of the Quarantine Act, and I have to say this document is just huge. It's 32 pages. So Lord knows what they're trying to, you know, have to say in all that time. Oh, well, it is also in French and English. That might explain why it's so thick. But I'd like to point you, Jim, to, and your audience, to really be aware of this. The Quarantine Act, 14.1, it says any qualified person authorized by the minister may, to determine whether a traveler has a communicable disease or symptoms of one, use any screening technology authorized by the minister that does not involve the entry into the traveler's body of any instrument or other foreign body. So I highlighted that, and I was ready with this in my binder to defend myself and to also state, now, if you have someone that would like to determine whether I have a communicable disease or if I appear to be sick, you can take my temperature. I will allow that. I don't think that's right either, but, you know, that's a lot less. I do not want that PCR with ethylene oxide and all kinds of stuff, you know, in that liquid in there. I don't want that up my nose. I don't trust them. I don't trust the medical people anymore after what we are seeing with the vaccines and the vaccine harms and the PCR faulty tests. I do not want that. So I had that ready. I also then had a public advisory, and this is from the CDC, stating that rapid antigen test kits and potential exposure to hazardous substances. It has a list of all of the side effects and the complaints that have been made. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good document to have to show them that I take issue with having to have these stupid PCRs to begin with. And finally, Jim, what I had in my binder was the Nuremberg Code. And the Nuremberg Code should be the dismissal of all of this. It should be the vindication for all of us that we do not and must not comply lest history repeat itself. Now, Nuremberg Code was created after, you know, the horrible atrocity that we know took place many, many years ago. And basically, it was crafted so that it would not happen again. And in number one, Nuremberg Code, item number one, it says the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. So, A, I do not comply and I do not consent to this PCR testing. And this means, it says, that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. So right there, this is very much being forced on us. I'm under duress to have to take it. It's an overreach, and that this is absolute coercion. Also, I do not have the knowledge of what is in the subject matter. I do not have understanding, nor is it written out anywhere. These PCR tests refuse to give you the exact, you know, little bits that are in there. We do know ethylene oxide is in there, but I heard an incredible video, and it was actually on Action for Canada, where a lady tried to get from a lab who created these PCR tests the ingredients, the list of ingredients of what's in the PCR. They would not give it. They said, because we don't sell to the end user. Well, this lab that created the PCR test sells to the government. The government also will not give us the exact ingredients that are in this. So basically, Jim, we arrived at the border with all of these items, and I was ready to defend myself. Now, I never had to use any of them because he asked for our passport. We gave it to him, and he said, have you taken your antigen test? We said, no. We said nothing more, just no. He said, and I see you haven't signed up for ArriveCan because I guess they know. I mean, ArriveCan will already be starting the tracing and tracking by them knowing that you're on your way to the border. So we said, no. So you could almost hear the border guard's eyes rolling at this point. And also, we had arrived quite late at night. The border closes at 10, and we literally rolled up at 10. So we didn't know it closed at 10. We're from BC with those 24-hour, you know, big border crossings, and we weren't aware. So we didn't mean to come at the last hour, but we did, and he was probably annoyed by that. So the next thing that happened was the border guard, you know, asked us if we were vaccinated. And I have to say that I think we made a mistake because we immediately said no, and we shouldn't have. We don't have to give our personal medical information to anybody. That is private. That is, you know, that is a right and a privilege, and we shouldn't have done it. But anyways, we answered so fast, and we were nervous. He then said, well, you know, you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days, and we said yes. Then, you know, it seemed like he wanted to pretty much move us on. He seemed annoyed at that. And then he told us that this would be the warning, and that the next time that we come through the border without the items that we need, it will be a $5,000 fine. And so we said, okay, thank you. And I was clutching my little binder ready to sort of say anything, but at this point I assessed the situation. He understands we didn't do it, and we're not getting a fine. We're going to get a warning. All right, well, this might not be the time then that I'm going to need that binder, so I'll save it for another day. So he tells us to pull aside, but he wants me to come in and into the office. So I go into the office, get out of the vehicle, and walk in, and begins to ask if I've had a criminal record and if, you know, I've broken laws or whatever. And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, there is a warrant out for your arrest. And I said, you're kidding. And I was kind of shocked by that. Like, my worst fears were coming to life. And I started, like, kind of, like, gulping and, you know, began sweating, you know, what's going to happen here? Why do I have a warrant for my arrest? So he did do some digging, and then he began to ask some questions. And this grumpy border guard, I have to say, then began to be a little bit more personable. And he said, well, I see you've run for politics here. And I said, yeah, I've put my name forward for my country. And he kind of gave me a little smile underneath that mask. I can only assume by his eyes, because they kind of squinted, because you can't see, you know, his face. And there's not much personable about these masks these days. And he looked at me and he said, well, you had a ticket on election night of 2021, which I think is September 20th. I believe it's the 20th. 2021 in September. And he said, you got a ticket for not wearing a mask, and you, it looks like you maybe missed a court date, and so there's a warrant for your arrest. So I do know with that particular ticket, I said I would fight it, and that, you know, I had missed a court date, and previously I had tried to, you know, reconcile that with the court, and they basically had said no, and I'd kind of left it because I'd missed the court date. You know, I obviously had made an error in that regard because I intended to be at the court and to fight for my rights and to fight against the ticket. So that, then they said, you know, well, contact the police and all of that. Then, they said I could return to the vehicle. I thought my husband was supposed to go in, so I sent him in, and then they told him to come back out. So then he asked me if I was punking him. But after giving my husband the news that there's a warrant out for my arrest, you know, we both kind of look at each other and think, oh, no, what next? You know, I'm going to the gulags. I'm going to the slammer. So we stayed in the vehicle until a border guard came up, and they handed us back our passports and also gave us each two PCR tests that we're supposed to do on the first day and the eighth day. So we still have those, and we were supposed to contact a health person. And, we didn't contact a health person because we just have no reason. We're very healthy, and there's no reason for us to have to check in our country. And we believe that we came into our country legally. So that was the bulk of it. And, I urge, after all of this, every Canadian that is crossing back in here to stand up for their rights as a Canadian. Use your given rights on the front page of your passport, come into your country, and do not comply with the other difficult and tyrannical and unnecessary and overreaching requirements of our government.
Do you think Canadians are waking up to the World Economic Forum selected politicians taking their rights away and trying to install a dictatorship?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think more and more people are waking up. I wish it was more, but it's definitely more than it was. When Klaus Schwab openly declares that our prime minister is basically one of his best underlings, you know, and you can see the relationship there, and we know that Klaus Schwab is completely bonkers and thinks that we want to own nothing and that that will make us happy. He's crazy. They have whatever color the world looks to them, it's the wrong color. And I think that we're in danger, because I think everything that Trudeau is doing right now is for his next season in his life. After he's the prime minister, because it won't last forever, because he will eventually. I pray he's removed, that there is a moment of reckoning at some point. He takes one of his criminal actions too far, and he will be found guilty and removed. I pray for that day. But nonetheless, there will come an end to Justin Trudeau's prime ministership one way or another, and his next goal is to be on a world-level stage. Now, everyone, if we thought he was scary being the prime minister, can you imagine someone as manipulative, as fake, such a good actor that Mr. Prime Minister is, being on the world stage alongside Klaus Schwab? I believe that's what he is auditioning for right now. I think that everything that he does, including the other day stating that we are still in a pandemic, is to get a seat beside Klaus Schwab. That's his goal. That's what he wants. He's been rejected by the United Nations. The World Health Organization had some really nasty things to say about him. And frankly, I hope that gives us all a little bit of hope that at least some people in the World Health Organization do not side with what Justin Trudeau has done or is doing to his beloved people of Canada. However, the World Health Organization is very clearly as well not operating in the best interests of humanity. There's so many things wrong that it's shocking. And what is being pulled over on us right now and the world is the most damning assault against the sovereignty of man. The sovereignty to be able to choose what goes in your body. The sovereignty of every person to be able to decide how they will conduct themselves, whether they will quarantine themselves if they feel like they're sick, or whether they will assume the risk that they would like to assume. Even in the case of something like a said pandemic coming, we all know now, and I was just looking at the numbers of deaths worldwide the other day. In 2020, we did not see worldwide deaths that resulted in a pandemic. I was looking at numbers that came out. Was it Ireland, I think? Yeah. Ireland basically showing that 2020 and 2021 were low numbers of deaths. 2007 was a huge amount of deaths in Ireland. And then it kind of, you know, kept going down every single year all the way to 2020, 2021. Ironically, in Ireland, 220 was really low. 221 went up a bit. And that's interesting. But nonetheless, it's way less than all the other years. So this facade, this fraud that is being perpetrated against us, once we have the data and the facts, we can see it clearly. But will others take the time to look at it? I don't know. I'm not sure if we're there. And I'm not sure if we don't need to have a little bit more pain in order to understand what's happening. I am concerned about those that are blind and do not appear to be looking at the scientific evidence or the facts and do not want to actually accept that there is some kind of sick plan and agenda against us. They're not ready to see it, but I think they will be because I think that's coming.
The Trudeau Singh government and the World Economic Forum controlled politicians again voted to keep the travel ban against unvaccinated Canadians and their right to travel by air and rail. Your thoughts on why they did that?
It's absolutely sickening. I mean, Druthers basically has a report today, you know, that says that, you know, Canadians are literally trapped in their own country. I think that we need to start declaring asylum and perhaps leaving if we feel to leave. Druthers' report just said 6 million Canadians detained in the world's largest prison. And I think we are in a prison. You know, Canadians are not supposed to leave right now at all. And Canadians are not supposed to be able to get on a plane, train, or anything if they're not vaccinated. So the unvaccinated are being targeted and they are being dehumanized the same way that other peoples in history were dehumanized before they were treated terribly. And just today, this was June 1st, the Ohio House of Representatives requests Canada added to the Religious Freedom Special Watch List because we are under, I mean, the world is watching as we're no longer the true north, strong and free. We're, you know, weak and captive underneath a Trudeau government. It's an embarrassment. I actually had people in the United States when I'd say I was a Canadian, they'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they looked at me like with pity and sadness. And that's concerning that the world is watching, you know, sitting, I mean, does anybody even follow? Do NDPers know that Jagmeet Singh, you know, is on a terrorist watch list? I mean, he's not even allowed in India. Like, this is one of our leaders, and he now has linked arms with Trudeau to budget us. And now, I mean, I don't get Jagmeet Singh at all. I would have thought, even his people, you know, he's going to certain places in Canada, and the Sikhs are plummeting him with language and name calling because they can't stand what he's doing. Why is he doing it? He wants power. He wants control. He wants to be the prime minister one day. Jagmeet Singh is a very scary individual because he has got a lot of charisma, and make no bones about this. Do not underestimate Jagmeet Singh because he does not believe in freedom the way Canada should believe in freedom. He does not believe in the sovereignty of Canadians to choose and decide and make their own decisions. No, he wants the power that Justin Trudeau is wielding right now. He has collaborated with Justin Trudeau to become a serious force of concern against all of us. And you know, this remains to be seen. We do need to wake up because both of these guys need to go. It's absolutely destructive to our nation.
We'll have more with Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson. Laura Lynn, you're heading out on a speaking tour. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, this is going to be really amazing. A pastor here in Saskatchewan got a hold of me and said, listen, we need to rally the troops, and something very serious is going on in Canada, and he's very alarmed and worried about it. And we've seen our religious freedoms assaulted. We've seen the medical tyranny. We're watching the rollout of these vaccines and the harms that are happening. And he said, what about we do a tour, 9 cities in 9 days, basically 9 or 10 days. And Mark Friesen is a great friend of mine and an amazing man who's been speaking out against globalization, the World Economic Forum, the WHO. Mark Friesen has been talking about Agenda 2030 for a long time, long before most of us knew what it was. He was warning Canadians about this. And so, Paul Dubois, Mark Friesen, and myself, other, speakers, R.B. Hamm, we are going to, and he's a wonderful Canadian who just gets what's going on, very concerned, very impassioned. And we're gonna go and meet with the people, and we're gonna see what the state of the hearts of Canadians is. What are they fearful of? What's going on out there? And we're going to share our hearts with them and maybe try to bring some solutions, what we can do, what hasn't worked, and what to be aware of, and how to mobilize so that we are doing everything we can and that we are preparing ourselves for an even darker day. I have to admit that I'm a very optimistic person, and I always like to see everything's going to be okay. It'll all be okay. But as we look at the facts of what keeps happening and our lying, deceptive government that's implementing these agendas and mandates against us continually, that we're the only country in the world that has not lifted the travel ban, I think we're in for something ahead. And what do we do to prepare for that? That's what we're going to be talking about on this tour.
Laura Lynn, I'm suspicious to the point as well. We don't have enough security people to clear us at the airports. We don't have enough people to process all the passport applications. Is this mandate perhaps being kept a hold of because they just don't have the people to process us through free movement across our country and around the world? Do you think that might be behind it?
I sure do. And I think that people have conspired. There are people that have conspired to make it difficult now to get those passports, to get through airports. Everything is becoming so difficult. And what is so funny, Jim, is it doesn't only affect the unvaccinated who aren't even there. This is an effect on the vaccinated. So I think that is infuriating to people. I can't believe that I can call a company these days and they're saying, due to COVID, we are unable to take your call personally. Everything's due to COVID. What a joke this is. This has become a national way to just lower the standard of care, lower the standard of service to Canadians. And, you know, something's very wrong. For some reason, they don't want us traveling. Look at the gas prices. Look at what they're doing. They want everybody to basically be walking by 2050. I saw this the other day, walking or rolling, you know, like in a wheelchair, I guess. It's on the flipboard. Like they just want everybody to not be in cars that use gas or diesel by 2050. And it's too expensive for a lot of families to just go out and get one of these electrical cars. And how would we even handle the amount of electricity if we all changed over to that. Apparently, you know, there's not enough of the stuff they need to make this all happen anyway. So it's just a big joke. You know, it's an assault on all of us. I just think something very bad's happening.
Are you hearing of people having serious side effects to the jabs, yet they don't or won't connect those health issues with the jabs?
Oh, we are having a lot of interviews on my broadcast every day, lauralyn.tv, regarding the people that are being affected. Most recently, we had a young girl, a teenager, who is now very much confined to a wheelchair, has been very harmed. We had a pilot on the other day who literally passed out as he landed his small plane and was taken to the hospital. We have now an understanding from insiders that the FAA has got a real problem because pilots are having injuries. They are having heart pain. They're having palpitations. They're experiencing medical issues, but they don't want to come forward because it will mean the end of their career. And what's happening right now, the lies of the mainstream media not reporting on all of this, they, I pray, are found culpable at some point for not disseminating good information and for being nothing but vaccinators. The vaccinators of the world are promoting and propelling false information that these jabs are safe. And yes, we are seeing the effects. Not very many people haven't now had a friend, a loved one, someone they know that's had an adverse reaction to these jabs. So it's time for us all to wake up.
The Conservative Party of Canada leadership campaign is ongoing in the past 2.5 years. Did any of these candidates stand up for Canadians?
Yeah, I mean, I continue to have a problem with the Conservative Party of Canada as a whole for not standing up for the values and principles of Canadians. I think we're finally getting there. Many people know that because I stood against gender transitioning and gender ideology being taught to kindergartners and kids in school, we are now seeing that there's a strong rise in a lot of kids declaring themselves to be transgender or gender fluid. And even the experts are saying, okay, something's wrong here. It's become more of a fad. Now, when you ask me about the Conservative Party and I talk about that, that's because that is one of the most relevant things that our society at the ground root level has faced. Mothers and fathers, children in school. This is the most basic area where we need it to be run smooth. And the Conservative Party of Canada has chosen to be silent on these issues and or be politically correct and left-wing, leaning, woke, participants in the world agenda for, you know, as Bill Maher says, by the year 2070, we'll all be gender fluid. You know, we'll all be transgender because with the trend, the way everybody keeps, you know, more and more kids declaring themselves to be transgender, the world is going to have to face that what is going on here, what is actually really going on. And the Conservative Party of Canada may not look at issues like that. However, they are now starting to speak up about the World Economic Forum. Leslyn Lewis is one of my favorite candidates. She has been speaking against the World Health Organization. She has been very forthright. She had a debate back and forth with Vashti on the CBC and completely, hauled her up on her lack of knowledge on the treaty going on at the big meetings and in Davos, trying to get all of Canada and the world to conform to whatever the World Health Organization might tell everyone to do. Well, that's what we all do. I have heard Pierre Poilievre speak out on this. I like Pierre Poilievre. I do think that he has an excellent way of, you know, getting to the bottom of things. I love his debates that I have seen, but I do not think that he measures up in the depth of understanding to Leslyn Lewis. And I do hope that Leslyn Lewis is not overlooked. She would be an amazing prime minister. She's a woman. She's educated, highly educated. She will understand the issues of race. She will understand the issues of what we're facing in our schools. She has been open to state her concerns over what's going on with gender. And I believe that she would be the best candidate. I can't believe that Pierre Poilievre brought John Baird in. John Baird, he quit his position several years ago around, you know, circulating rumors that no one would ever, you know, no one ever stated that they were facts because it all got swept under the carpet. John Baird, I mean, he's just been a terrible part of the Conservative Party of Canada, and I was disappointed to see that Pierre Poilievre would bring him into it. Pierre was recently asked, you know, what is a woman, and that was by Dan Dix of Press for Truth, and he did say, not a man. So he skirted the very important question that everybody seems to be asking, what is a woman? It's the most obvious answer in the whole world that people don't seem to be able to give a clear answer to. So, you know, I wish them well. Politics is a big problem because if you're still going to believe in the Paris Accord, if you're still going to go along with any of these global ideas, you're not helping Canada. So we'll see what happens with all of that.
A lot of people are glued to the mainstream media where Justin Trudeau made it legal to propagandize or lie to the people in 2019, just in time for the COVID narrative to hit. Have you had any luck in waking up any of these people to what's really going on?
I think I have. I hear from them every single day. People write me, and in fact, when I meet people along the road or in one of these tours or at any of the amazing events that I've been at, I'm often greeted. People throw their arms around me. They're in tears, and they say, thank you. Because of you, my family did not take the jab. Because of you, we understand now what's happening. We were so confused. We didn't get it. And now we get it because we've been looking at your show and all of the great guests and truth tellers that we have, on the program. So I do think that I've helped to awaken a lot of people. I hope a lot more will be awakened. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed that we've come so far, but there's so much farther to yet go. And it does concern my heart that the U.S. seems to be ahead of us in understanding what we're facing. Even the Democrats now turning away from being Democrats, turning away from the BLM narrative, turning away from the defund the police agenda that was going on because now murders are way up. So I do hope, Jim, that begins to happen in a larger form in Canada. When I look at some place like British Columbia, my home province, I'm alarmed that they're such a liberal NDP, you know, province now. I don't know what it is about the West Coast, you know, right down to California, very liberal leaning. Not understanding the times, not discerners of what is happening. And I pray I do my part and that you guys continue to do your part, because I know this is what the Goddard Report is all about, is talking to the truth tellers, getting the truth, whatever side that is, and speaking it out. And I think we can only do that and continue to hope that we have a great effect on our nation.
The truckers' convoy in Canada inspired the U.S. Do you think Canada can continue to be an inspiration for the United States in this ongoing fight against global tyranny?
Absolutely, we can. And I know that there's a lot of movements going on. The truckers are amazing, and a lot of them still talking, still strategizing on what we can do. What happened last time, what to change, what is our effort moving forward. Never underestimate that if the truckers decide to mobilize in a way that is, you know, not going to be able to be shut down by the government, then they're very powerful. They're big rigs. They're not easily moved. There does come a point in every nation's history where the fight becomes so important that you're willing to pay the price to see the change that is absolutely needed. And the truckers have already paid a price. Things are still bad, but they did get a little better. We've seen a lot of vaccine mandates be revoked. We see a lot of people now getting their jobs back. And yet, many schools and companies still demanding these vaccine passports. If it comes to the point where there is not a changing of all of this and the government doesn't let up, I do think we'll get to the place where the truckers, the bikers, the military, former military, will be putting something together that will really be the ultimate pushback against our government. And I look forward to that time, but I don't want any violence. And that is the concern that a lot of people are feeling right now, is that, you know, people are getting angry, and sometimes there can be some things said on social media by certain parties that talk about, you know, taking back our country, and that maybe that could end up being, you know, leading to violence. I know the freedom fighters do not support that. That is not an answer. It's just that it's such a dire, dire time, an unprecedented time of literally Canada becoming a communist country. So people are desperate. I pray that things change, that we see the backing down of our government and a returning to Canada's rightful, true north, strong and free position.
BC has municipal elections this fall. Voter fraud should be at the top issue, but is it being ignored? How can vote fraud issue be forced into the spotlight? And I'm thinking about Surrey City Council, where they have voted that no ethical issues will be brought out before their election.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, as soon as you're not allowed to talk about something, it's because it's a problem, right? I mean, it's a shocking problem. And Dominion machines were used yesterday in Ontario, and by 9 a.m. they weren't working. And I got an email from somebody saying that they went down to vote and the machines weren't working, and they had to take a whole bunch of the ballots and do something bizarre with them. And so then there's an article out today, oh, it was quickly fixed. And, you know, they asked them, are these machines? And they said, yes. It's as if we've learned nothing at all from what's happened. In the United States of America, 2,000 mules and some of the other data that's coming forward is beginning to show an undeniable truth that election fraud can truly happen. And I don't think that Canada should think that it can't happen here. I guess we don't want to admit that, right? Because it's so bad to have those kind of liars. But I'm sorry, we're surrounded by liars. We're surrounded by deceitful people that do not have character. So I think it's a huge issue. It'll begin to be more addressed as facts come to light. And we'll see. We'll see. I think it should be on the table. And there should be every measure taken to ensure that we have voters that are identified and have their voter ID, and that it's not a free-for-all like it was in the election when I went up against Jagmeet Singh. Basically, certain people could come in with an uncle and say, and they could vouch for them that this is my, you know, this is my niece or this is my grandmother. And by vouching for a person that would get them the right to vote, that's pure ridiculousness. I couldn't even fathom how this was being allowed. And of course, you know, what can you say when the vote's all over and it all comes in? Not much you can say at that point.
Laura Lynn, where can people follow you on your speaking tour?
Well, probably the best place is lauralynn.tv. And I'm always on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. We'll be doing live hits from the places that we're going to. So excited to be joining with Canadians. And those that can, I hope that you come out. We'd love, love to see you.
Laura Lynn, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
Thank you again, Jim. I've loved every minute of it. You take care of yourself.
My guest has been Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, host of Laura Lynn and Friends on lauralynn.tv. If you have any questions for Laura Lynn or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at Talk Digital Net. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.